This past summer, I was asked to speak on the Yancy Swike Hall about the attitude of Yiddishkeit towards music. So I discovered a number of interesting things. I think it's obvious to all of us instinctively that music has tremendous power. If you watch a movie, so right away the score of the movie, the musical background conveys either a sense of excitement. Some right away when you hear the music, you could right away sense what's going on, or a sense of foreboding. Right at the final scene, so you don't even realize it sometimes that the music reaches a crescendo, and it plays a tremendous amount and a role in how you feel about what you're watching. The horror on the protagonist's face in a horror movie, I wouldn't know. I've never seen such a thing. I often wonder how people actually get joy out of having to vomit the whole time, or that's an enjoyable experience of seeing people kill each other. I don't get that, but okay. I guess some people like it, but the horror on the protagonist's face becomes multiplied because of the music that's in the background. Music is certainly a multi-billion-dollar industry, whose leaders become idols and icons of popular culture. Music has tremendous power. And the Torah also recognizes the power of music. We read Parshas Bereishis a couple of weeks ago, discussing the children, the Shem Achiv Yuval, Hu Haya Avi Kol Tofes Kinar V'Ugav. If I'm not mistaken, the Torah was talking about the children of the children of Cain? Who was it? I forgot already. Whose kids? But the Torah is listening through the generations. So the Torah says that this person was the first person to be a shepherd. This person was the first person to create the farming tools. And then the Torah says, "V'shem Achiv Yuval, Hu Haya Avi Kol Tofes Kinar V'Ugav." He was the first musician. Why is that significant? Why do I need to know that Yuval was the first musician? Who cares? Sounds like the Torah is calling attention to that because there's a tremendous amount of power to music. Now, how does music impact a person? So, certainly, we are the people of the book, and words are very important to us. I mentioned this last week, that words are the language of the mind, and certainly a mind, your das, is crucial to the service of Hashem. However, the Gemara teaches us, Rachmana Liba Boy. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't just want our mind, He also wants our heart. He wants our neshama. He wants our soul. He wants our Yiddishkeit to be full of Avas Hashem and Yiras Hashem, not just words. And not even just actions, he wants Yiddishkeit to be an emotional experience. And one way that one can accomplish that Yiddishkeit should be emotional, as I think I've said before, that's why the Ramban al Torah writes that in Parshas Yisro, where he's discussing why Aseh Do Chalos Aseh, so the Ramban says, because the Yisod of all mitzvahs Aseh is Avas Hashem, and the Yisod of all mitzvahs Lo Aseh is Yiras Hashem, and Ava is a higher level of Avodah than Yira. And that's why Aseh is Doch Alos Aseh. That's what the Ramban writes. So one of the things that you see from that Ramban, you see a lot of things, but one of the things you see from that Ramban is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu isn't just looking for the performance of positive mitzvahs for us, as some people who misunderstand the brisker approach might think, or that HaKadosh Baruch Hu just is looking for us to be robots to just do all the mitzvahs Aseh and just stay back from all the mitzvahs Aseh. No. The point of all mitzvahs Aseh, the Ramban says, is Avas Hashem. And the point of abstaining from all the los says is Yiras Hashem, that Kadosh Baruch Hu wants emotion involved in this. One of the ways that we accomplish love and awe, which are emotions, not actions, one of the ways that we accomplish this is through the medium of music, because as I saw, I didn't see this anywhere earlier, but I saw the chief rabbi, Rabbi Jonathan Sachs, writes this, music is the language of the soul. There's got to be a Mamar Chazal, I just haven't found it yet, but he writes it. So music is the language of the soul. Words are the language of the mind, and music is the language of the soul. We certainly have nusach to our tefillah. Every yontif has its own tune. Each tefillah of yontif has a special, especially the tefillahs of Yom Noraim. There's a particular nusach that is supposed to evoke a certain thoughts when you are saying them. Our tefillos come from Tehillim, which are poems that David HaMelech, the Ne'im Zemiros Yisrael, David HaMelech is referred to as Ne'im Zemiros Yisrael, he sang to the Boshim. David would get up in the middle of the night, and the harp would play, he would play his harp as he composed Tehillim through Ruach HaKodesh. We lane with a special tune, right? We don't just say Torah, we get up, we lane it. There's a niggin, we lane it with a niggin. The Gemara says that it's even appropriate to sing, the Gemara says in Megillah, Daf Lamed Beis Amud Aleph, that it's even appropriate to sing when you learn. The Gemara says that. Ein rina shel Torah nishmas ela balayla. That the Gemara talks about the song of learning. Infusing davening, kriyas haTorah, and learning with song helps us to express emotion as we are engaging in these activities. Certainly in the Beis HaMikdash, the song of the Levim was crucial in having our karbanos accepted by Hashem. You had the shir that accompanied the karban. Certainly, Zmiros on Shabbos very, very much enhance the atmosphere of Shabbos. And particularly in the area of Simcha, we find music to be an incredible opportunity to express Simcha. Music allows us to express HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the deep feelings that we have of thanking Him for our relationship with Him and for the opportunity to serve Him. As a matter of fact, when Elisha HaNavi was angry, he had lost the ability to prophesy, to be Minavi, to be a Navi. And the famous Pasuk in Malachim, Beis, Paragimel, Pasuk Tesvav, so Elisha was angry, so he said, Va'ata kichuli minagain, get me a musician, Vahaya kinagain haminagain, and it was when the musician played Vatihi Alav, Yad Hashem, that he said, get me a musician. He was angry, so he wasn't besimcha. Someone who's not besimcha can't speak to their Ribbono Shel Olam, can't be on the same wavelength. The Ribbono Shel Olam can't be a Navi. So he said, get me a musician and play some music, and that would put me in the right frame of mind that I should be able to communicate with the Ribbono Shel Olam, because he wasn't besimcha. Hearing the music put him in the mood to be able to have nevuah. Not so different from the fact that Yitzchak Avinu, right, Yitzchak Avinu asked, Aseli Matanim, so that I give you a bracha. Because he had to eat to be besimcha, to be in a good mood, to be able, that the Shechina should rest on him, that he should be able to give a bracha. And similarly, in Oz Yashir, when Klal Yisrael was saved, so they broke into a song of nevuah. There's a connection between music and nevuah. We see here, by Oz Yashir, you see such a thing, by Elisha, and that's because music is the language of the neshama, and when a person's minabe, the nevuah, you know, it's because he's connecting his neshama, which is a chelak alakam imal, is connecting with the Ribbono Shel Olam through music. And perhaps the most dramatic source that speaks of the connection between music and simcha and one's relationship to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of thanking Hashem for all that He gives him, is the Gemara in Erechin and Daf Yud Aleph Amud Aleph. The Gemara in Erechin says, Minayin le'ikr shira min haTorah. Says the Gemara in Erechin Yud Aleph Amud Aleph. From where do we know? I don't know exactly. Minayin le'ikr shira min haTorah. From where do we know that shira plays an important part in Yiddishkeit? Shenemar. First he has one pasuk. Shenemar. So one opinion says, V'sheiris b'shem Hashem alakav, Ezu sheiris b'shem havi omer zeh shira. Then, so that's one pasuk. Then the Gemara says, Rav Masna Amar Mehacha, Tachas Asher Lo Avartas Hashem Elokecha B'Simcha V'Tov Leivav. How do you know that Shira is so important to Yiddishkeit? Because the Torah says you're going to get 98 curses because you weren't Oved Hashem B'Simcha. Says the Gemara, Ezu Avodah B'Simcha V'Tov Leivav. What is considered to be the Avodah that's B'Simcha V'Tov Leivav? Havei Omer Ze Shira. The Gemara in Maseches Erechin seems to understand, according to Rav Masna, that the source, that what is the Torah referring to when the Torah says, Ivdu as Hashem b'simcha, it means, the Gemara says in Erechin according to Rav Masna, it means Shira. That's what it means. I mean, and that's why Rashi over there comments, the famous comment of Rashi over there in that Gemara, Ein Adam Shar Shira Ela Mitoch Simcha V'Tov Levav, that Shira, when the Torah says, I'm going to give you curses because you didn't serve Hashem b'simcha, it's a reference to the fact that you didn't sing your Yiddishkeit. Rashi quotes the pasuk in Yeshayo, Hinei avdi yaronu mituv lev. Rashi says, one can't sing if he's not b'simcha. Therefore, singing is a prime example of simcha. So when we sing together, when we sing at a tish, when you sing on Shabbos, when you sing in davening, so we're using this power of simcha often to express our deep-rooted, tremendous feelings of simcha to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right? I mean, you could even read the Gemara to mean that a person who doesn't sing, sounds like he's going to get the 98 curses. Tachas shalavat shalom b'simcha means shira. Simcha means shira, and if you don't do that, so a primary way, and it sounds like it's a very serious primary way to express your simcha takavish baruch hu, is through joyous song. And of course, that's why at a chasana, at a wedding, the primary way that we express simcha is through singing and dancing, because that's the vehicle that we use to be mekayim the mitzvah of simchas chasen v'kala. And perhaps it is this level of simcha and excitement that it seems can only be reached through music that caused Chazal to outlaw music after the Chorban. Based on the Gemara in Gittin on Dav Zayin. The Gemara in Gittin on Dav Zayin says that after the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, all music was outlawed. Question of exactly what the scope of this Isser is, Al Pidin. There's a major dispute about the scope of this Isser. Maybe only music in a bar, or maybe it's only music by Avodah Zarah. Different opinions about how, but certainly the fact that Chazal, in some measure, prohibited music certainly shows how much simcha music brings. If, as a result of the Churban Beis HaMikdash, simple pshat in the Gemara and Gittin that after the Churban, Klal Yisrael's in Avelos, so nobody's allowed to hear any music because music is what expresses a person's simcha. And there's no question that it is precisely because of the power of song, because song gets at a place inside us that's very, very deep and very profound. It's the language of the soul. That's why music can have the wrong kind of music can have a very negative effect on a person as well. And the Mishnah in Sota on Mem Ches Lamed Aleph, the Mishnah says that when Sanhedrin stopped functioning in Yerushalayim, so the Chacham made a takana that wine, that song, all singing was prohibited in the bars, in the taverns, in all the wine houses of Yerushalayim. So when there was no more Sanhedrin, so the Chacham forbade, not just in Yerushalayim, all over, Chacham forbade singing in a wine house, in a bar. And the Yerushalmi explains that the reason was that when Sanhedrin was functioning, so they were able to impose discipline and prevent the introduction of inappropriate content in song. However, when the Sanhedrin stopped to function, they could no longer supervise this, and people were introducing corrupt lyrics into the music. So therefore, they outlawed music in the bars. So this association between wine and song as a bad mixture, certainly we've all seen, has been played out. Nowadays, there's probably almost no such thing as a rock concert nowadays that does not have alcohol or drugs associated with it. And we understand very well why. Because both of these things speak to losing yourself to another dimension, of letting the soul get to like a different plane. And once you lose your perspective, you can easily inject bad influence in the music. The wine impacts the music, and the music impacts the soul. So that's one source. And the second source is a powerful Gemara on Chagiga Daf Tesvavim Beis. The Gemara in Chagiga asks, how did Elisha ben Avuya, the great Tana, how did he go off the derech? How you go? So we all know the story about, right, that he saw somebody being mechabit of aim as he was chasing away the mother bird, both of which are where the Torah says you get long life, and the guy who was doing it died on the spot, and he said, forget it, there must be no Rabbon Shalom. So he went off the derech. But the Gemara has different opinions. And the Gemara in Chagiga says, one opinion says, that how did he lose his faith? Why did his great knowledge of Torah fail to protect and prevent him from abandoning the Torah? The Gemara says that the reason was that Greek music never ceased to emerge from his mouth. That's what the Gemara says in Chagiga. He sang too much Greek music. Whatever exactly that means, the lesson seems to be that music has a profound effect on both individual and community. The culture that the Beatles brought with them in the 60s and 70s certainly had, one could argue maybe it had some positive effect. Certainly the overwhelming majority of its effect on society in terms of the promiscuity and the drugs in the late 60s and 70s is a contemporary example of this phenomenon. Music can draw us closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or it has the potential, because of its tremendous power and the fact that music hits you deep inside the neshama, it has the tremendous power to lead you away as well. Secular music presents a number of challenges to the Orthodox Jew. One is the lyrics. As we just saw, that's if Chazal say that Elijah ben Avi went off the derech because he was singing Greek music. So certainly, simply put, just as we're not supposed to read things that fly in the face of everything that the Torah stands for, so listening to music which has words that are against everything we believe in is certainly forbidden. But in music, it's much worse because the music has its own power even without the words. And therefore, the music paves the way for the words to have an even worse effect on a person, because we find ourselves muttering the lyrics or singing them in the shower or all day, and that has a very big effect. I remember over the summer I was talking to Rabbi Tursky about this. He said, he was talking about how it's amazing how even after a person has changed and grown and developed and he now is in a much better place than maybe the times that he was listening to some things that he shouldn't be listening. But whatever you hear, it stays in there forever. He told a few stories about this. I don't have so much time, but okay. So I think before we had the fire drill, I was just saying that Rabbi Tversky told over some great stories about this. He said that his daughters always liked to listen to Rav Hartman, who wrote the Maharals. He speaks all over the place. Rav Hartman one time. He's speaking, I guess Rav Hartman's in his 50s, maybe early 50s, mid-50s. So one time, in the middle of a shiur, he starts quoting word by word Marv Albert's entire, 3 minutes of some major Knick game. The play-by-play, shoots the pass there, and he shoots and he scores. And down the floor, he's coming back and he can pass. And on the middle of the shiur, he starts going, 3 minutes, he could say Baal Peh. And the girls, had no idea what was going on. And so then he said, the reason he told him that is that his words were, he's a brilliant genius for Harman. He's a brilliant, brilliant genius. And when he was 6 years old, 7 years old, he was able to memorize, everything. He said, once the shtus gets in your head, you can't get it out. Doesn't mean he was 50 years later. He hadn't listened to the Knicks in 40 years. But he just, once you get it in there, it's like certain songs, certain things, once, I was talking to Tursky in different contexts about authors, it's hard, to read certain things, what should be the curriculum for the English program in the school. But anyway, so one problem is just the words themselves, but also the lifestyles of the creators of the music is often against all that we believe in, and music from a disgusting person often has disgusting connotations. It's very hard. An author of a book or a composer of music can't escape putting their own neshama into the music. So if the person who wrote the music is not a person who subscribes to our philosophies, then it's a problem. Again, I don't think that all rock music for sure is also for a Jew to listen to. I'm not of that. I think there is some stuff that was created by good people and has good messages that are very consistent with Torah ideas. It's not for sure that all rock music is also. I don't believe that. Things that come to mind, people like James Taylor, people who wrote beautiful music that has a lot of meaning, maybe some of Simon and Garfunkel, people like that who wrote beautiful music about nice ideas and good themes. So I don't think there's anything usher about that, but I think 95% of it, I don't know, 95%, yeah, probably something close to that, a lot of that is just flies in the face of everything we believe in. And just my one final word about Jewish music is that just because the words are Jewish doesn't mean that the song is Jewish. And there's a lot of Jewish music that I think that is not good. And just because they're singing words of Torah, let's say they use Torah words, but some of the music and some of what they did with it, they're just giving an excuse to be like, you know, just imitating the rock musicians. A lot of that I think it has the same problems with a lot of the rock music. And in general, the Jewish music industry is one that I, you know, sometimes have some concerns about with some of the performers, about what their intentions are and whether or not they're doing this really to bring about more dveikus from Jews, or some, again, many of them perhaps are, but some of them I think have it wrong in terms of what the whole idea of what the music of Yiddishkeit is supposed to be, especially those performers who have just simply taken all the music from the non-Jewish world and put Jewish words in front of it. To me, that's even worse than secular music, because it's also a desecration of the words of the Ribbono Shel Olam, when you take Jewish words and put them to music, which so clearly just the music itself and the way it affects you in the B'Panimius, ruins it. So the conclusion is, music is certainly a very powerful force that can be used to enhance one's emotional experience as an Eved Hashem. It helps us show the Rachman Liba Boy, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants our heart, not just actions, but He wants our neshama. But it also poses sometimes a threat, and we have to be wary of the negative influence that sometimes music presents as well.